I'm Stephanie Wright here with Ozarks Dynacom, a native podcast. We're going to be talking with Scrivener Law Firm, LLC. Daryl, you are the owner and also, of course, an attorney. What areas of the law does Scrivener Law Firm handle?
Well, Stephanie, our firm is actually a general practice, so we handle all types of calls and cases. When everybody calls in, our policy is that it's something we can help them with and have that experience and capability, or we can guide them to a firm or attorneys who have more specialized knowledge and can help them out. That being said, I was a prosecutor for 19 years in Stone County. So criminal law is really an area that I specialize in and really enjoy. And we take a lot of those kind of cases, family law and civil litigation.
In total, how long have you been practicing law?
This year, we are celebrating 30 years.
Congratulations.
So obviously, I'm not that old. So I started when I was 10. No, I'm just teasing about that. But this is our 30th year being in practice. I started in Kansas City and I moved down to Branson just over 24 years ago.
So you've been practicing here in Taney and Stone County, correct?
Correct. And we do take cases in Christian County and surrounding, but we really try to focus on Stone and Taney counties.
30 years is a long time. I'm guessing a lot has changed over the years.
We've been talking a lot about this year in just reminiscing over the 30 years, and it has really changed so much. 30 years ago and even 20 years ago, things were handled so much differently. Things were more informal. Things were more cordial. A lot of cases and deals were made by attorneys over lunch or on the phone. We would just sit down and talk out a case. Today, that still happens, but not to the same level. Everything is so public anymore. Everybody knows all these cases. It has made the practice of law and those involved in it so much more antagonistic towards each other, or it's out there. It's much more formal and really harder to deal with things in a way, because now we have to deal with both what's going on inside the courtroom and then what's going on in the community, how everything's perceived, and it has just really made it much harder.
How has social media really played into the practice with law?
Attorneys and law firms look at Facebook particularly, but Instagram and these type of online social programs, and we find out so much information. People say things that they shouldn't be saying, or they say things about the judge or the parties or the case. And there was a case I was in court listening to, and the attorneys were actually pulling out printouts of Facebook where somebody was talking about how much money they had taken from this and made. And then they were, in that case, trying to say in court they didn't make this much money, but here it is on Facebook where they were bragging about it. And so it has made everything so much more public, accessible. You can find out so many things about people, use it against them. I just have a policy anymore. I tell my clients, stay off Facebook. Especially anything about the case or the other people, don't be posting pictures or comments.
And that probably also affects if a trial has to go to jury and being able to get non-biased jurors.
Yeah, that can be really difficult in a small community like this because everybody is somewhat interconnected. In Kansas City, there's a million people. It's easy to find people who don't know about this. Down here, we have a few cases that are really all over the internet. We took a case, a pending case, where a severely autistic child was assaulted by six different teachers in a public school. So we have sued the school and these teachers. And obviously that has been on radio stations, newspapers, social media. And so when that happens, everybody reads it and has predisposed ideas, good or bad, against either side. And that makes it really hard to get a jury who doesn't know anything about it and who hasn't been swayed. Yeah. I would say that even with small cases on Facebook, your friend list, you're yeah. usually only two people removed from everybody in the county somehow.
I know there was a court case going on in Colorado where a lady's property was trying to be taken. The only reason why I know about it is because of TikTok. She was making TikToks. Wow. Which was good, but also Again, talk with your lawyers. Make sure, I would probably say, stay off of social media. Definitely. Like you said. Now, the world has been changing. When the COVID pandemic hit, like, how did that really change practicing law?
You know, that really surprised me when it happened. You know, when COVID hit earlier 2020, we had a big physical office in town here, and the city actually had an order closing all non-essential type offices. So we had to figure out how to adjust to this. And we ended up just going to a virtual office where we and our employees worked separately. All of our business was done by telephone or video. The courts were doing the same. There were long stretches of time. Some divorces took 2 years because the courts, you couldn't go. And so, and then when they started reopening, they did by video so much. So we went to this thinking it was just short term and it was a hassle. And quite honestly, it's been one of the best things in our practice and our personal lives of us and our employees, because we can take everything, do it from home or separate places. Clients don't have to drive in to hand you a paper or to make a payment or just ask a question. We have learned so much about technology now to where everything, we can have things signed online, you know, through a DocuSign. You can make payments online. You can ask questions. We have a dedicated email that goes straight to a person's account, so it's all saved. We even just started a text line that goes to our office, not my personal cell phone, but to an office line that tracks and keeps all those messages. And so that clients anytime can just text that. They know they're not bothering me, but it goes right to their account. We see it. We answer them. And so those things have saved so much time for us and really for our clients. Because they're kind of surprised when I tell them that. They're like, somebody yesterday said, well, where are you? I need to come in then and drop off this piece of paper. And I said, oh, no, just scan it and email it to me and we'll talk about it. And he's like, well, that just saved me 2 hours of just driving in.
Yep. Which saves them money and they can focus on going to work or being with their family if they need to. And that helps, like you said, you all also, that has also helped in the technology side of things with better security, better use of your time than having to travel around.
Oh, yes, exactly. And security is a big thing because, you know, we've really gotten away from paper. And this helps us do that because we used to have file cabinets and make sure they were locked and make sure who actually had access to that room, because there's all this personal information. Now it's all on our computer, which is protected several different ways with security, and nobody's even physically allowed around it or involved in it.
And then it's easier to, instead of giving someone access with like a key, it's easier to give a code and then remove that if that needs to happen down the road or if they need something or not.
Exactly.
Are there any particular type of legal situations that you especially like to handle?
You know, really, we enjoy helping people no matter what the situation is. But I have to be honest, being a prosecutor for 19 years, it was just a lot of fun. You know, and I don't say that lightly because there are some of the worst situations people are going through. But I was on a grant through the federal government for victims of domestic violence and sexual assaults. And so I spent 19 years really focusing on helping restore and get justice for victims. And when you do that, as frustrating as it is with the system and with these situations, the satisfaction you get from helping, particularly women, you know, it could be either way, but the numbers show this, particularly women, be protected and get out of these situations, it really makes it hard to get that out of your blood. And so to this day, now I'm not prosecuting now, so some people say, well, you're on the other side, and isn't that different? But the point of that is still the same. Everyone's entitled to defense, and people are wrongfully charged or overcharged, and they deserve the defense. But most of what we do, even in criminal law, is getting to know our clients, figure out what's going on, figuring out how we can help the situation. Because most of the time you're working out some kind of negotiated plea with the prosecutors, something that can help our clients take responsibility, but grow from this change and not have it happen again. So I still feel like we're getting to change people's lives, you know, by taking these cases.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is what makes America great is, you know, everyone's entitled to that defense. Speaking about that, like, what makes your firm different from other law firms?
Well, I've often been referred to as a little bit different. And Mandy and I worked this law firm as a family. Our goal is not to get the most cases in the world or have the biggest number of files. We really have become much more selective on who we take and what cases we take and how many, because we want every case and client to be something we believe in, and we want to know them personally. Mandy is great at this, particularly, but we always tell clients when they hire us, whether they like it or not, they're part of the Scrivener family now. And that sometimes means we're going to be jovial with them. Sometimes it means we're going to be brutally honest. But to do that, you have to know somebody and spend some time. You have to really talk with them, figure out what's going on in the case, but more importantly, what's going on in their lives or outside of it. And so we really believe in just jumping in and involving ourselves in their lives and their situations. We have cried with people, yelled at people, prayed with people on the phone. And, you know, we really believe in that.
And you've mentioned Mandy a couple times. She's your beautiful wife. What role does she play in your law firm?
Mandy is just as much, if not more, of an integral part of our firm than I am. I mean, she's not an attorney, and that may sound like a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing in a lot of ways. She has years of experience and passion with helping people. She has also been involved with victim advocacy, working for rights of people. She is the office manager and does all the administrative things, but also she pours her lives into our clients. She develops the relationships with them. She figures out what they need, how it's going. Sometimes I can be a little cranky or difficult with people, and she will show the compassion side of it and just what we're trying to do and explain it from a non-lawyer point of view. And I think that's both important, because there's some things that I need to come in and explain legal, but most of the time when a client calls in and going through a divorce, they don't need the legal analysis. They need someone to say, I've been there, I understand. Here's what we're doing to help. What can we do? And it's that we talk about the sense of family we're trying to build, and she's kind of like the mom of the family that pulls everybody in.
Are there any downsides to a husband-wife working together?
Well, not for me, but I will let Mandy answer this question.
Oh, gosh. It can be good and bad. Most days it's great. Most days it's fantastic. We work together. I mean, I can't think of a more fantastic blessing from God to do what I love every day with the person that I love most in this world. And I think that that transfers to our clients. And I think that it gives them the best possible experience. Does that mean that there's times where we've launched a pin from one office to another? Does that mean that sometimes we can send an email back and forth to each other as opposed to having a conversation? And that's just part of it. And that's what makes us work together. We work together great. This is our life. This is what we do. We love it. I mean, we are living our best life. We're blessed.
And I'm sure you have boundaries for whenever work is done. Mm-hmm. You're no longer working partners. You now, you know, relationship partners.
Every day at 5 o'clock, no matter what's going on, everything work related stops and it becomes all about the family. And work is not discussed until the next morning, until 8 a.m. the next morning. And that is just a rule in our house. And on the weekends, we are with our family, we're with our children, we're having fun. We don't talk about work. Work is Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. After that, we are a family. Well, all the time, we are a family.
Yeah.
And that was one of the big adjustments we talked about, going from a physical office. And that's something that we had to learn, and anyone else is doing this, is when you don't leave your house in the morning to go to work, and then you don't leave the office to come back home, it's so hard to not blur those lines. It's hard not to want to go mow the grass or take the trash out when you're supposed to be working on filing some paperwork. Side, it's hard not to be doing my chores at night when I think, well, I can squeeze in another motion, because there's not that separation. You have to make sure it happens.
Do you have any special plans for a Scrivener Law Firm for the future?
You know, we've talked a lot about this year being our 30th year, you know, as a lawyer, and we love where we're at. We've made so many changes, but there's one thing that we are really wanting. It's just a dream of ours, and that's for my son Ian to take over. First of all, to work for me. He wants to jump straight to taking over ownership, but then eventually to build this and him and his experience up to where he can take this over as a family business and continue it. The idea of leaving a legacy of something that he can have and use, and something that continue to help people to where it doesn't even end with us. And that just excites us greatly. Now he's wanting to go study in England, in London particularly. And so we're going to have to figure that out, you know, as far as getting him over there. But we're all three of us are excited about that.
Oh, that is very exciting. One last question. You have to receive like a bunch of just strange different calls in your line of work from at least time to time. But what is the craziest call you've ever received?
You know, that's a great question. Over the years, especially when you're a prosecuting attorney, and I reviewed literally thousands of reports every year, the things that you would get every day just amazed you. And I was telling Mandy the other day that after 30 years, I still hear something almost every day that I've never heard before, and I just can't believe. Although I think the number one story I always have to share is that I actually had a trial, a literal trial once, about a neighbor's pig, potbelly pig, chewing on his neighbor's house siding. And it was a trial in front of Judge Blankenship over in Stone County. And at the end of it, the case was done, all the parties were gone, and he looked at me and we just started laughing. And I said, who'd have thought I'd go to law school in Kansas City and move across the state to take a case about a potbelly pig chewing on his neighbor's siding? And, you know, but to those people, it was important and it was an issue, but it was just something you can never imagine you'd ever be dealing with in court.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully the pig was okay.
The pig was fine. Although the neighbor's dogs were attacking it. That was part of the problem. They were fighting.
Yeah. Well, and you have some of those cases in the rural areas, especially. Yeah. But I mean, anywhere there are sometimes some weird cases that you have to take on.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah. It's not just here. It's just that was a different one that wouldn't have been in the city too much. I wasn't used to that.
That was the Scrivener Law Firm, LLC, with Daryl and Mandy Scrivener. You've been listening to the Meet Our Partners Ozark Steinacom podcast. Tune in for more Meet Our Partners podcast here on the Branson Podcast Network.